This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What we know is that the Royals have placed Adalberto Mondesi on the 10-day IL with a shoulder subluxation. The team also called up Humberto Arteaga. They've also traded Terrence Gore to the Yankees for cash considerations. Dodgers reportedly interested in trading for Jake Diekman. KU going to sell wine and beer at football games this fall. And the Royals back in action tonight. Pre-game coverage, Cody Tapp, coming up at 6 o'clock.
Halfway home on the drive, Carrington here, Sean here, BK here, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Text line 69306. Sorry, CDOT. James White gets the best receiving back award.
Once the playoffs come around, that's true.
Yeah, I don't think he's the best receiving back in the NFL. I think he's really, really good. I don't know if I would consider him to be the best. Like, he did not have the most yards last season. Christian McCaffrey had 100 catches last year for 867 yards last season.
Wow.
Christian McCaffrey was really good. James White was second. He had 87 catches for 751
yards. That's a bigger number than I was expecting. Wow.
Yeah, top five last year was Christian McCaffrey, James White, Tariq Cohen, Saquon Barkley, and Alvin Kamara were the top five pass-catching running backs in the NFL last season. There were 8 running backs in the NFL who had more than 500 yards receiving. Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, Jalen Richard, and then the top five guys I named earlier.
So Damian Williams could do that in this offense. It's not ridiculous to say he could have 500 yards receiving out of the backfield.
Yeah, I think 5's a little bit too high. 4 is probably about right. My thought on it, I think 4 is probably a little closer to what he's going to be, closer to 4 than 5. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will be joined by Sports Illustrated's legal analyst, Michael McCann, about Tyreek Hill. Again, he is Sports Illustrated's legal analyst, Michael McCann. He will join us coming up in about 10 minutes or so. But there has been an app that has been sweeping the nation and social media that sounds like Meanwhile in the News.
Meanwhile in the News.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
I've got some good news for you and some potentially upsetting news.
You're a f***ing newsman. Did I ever tell you otherwise? You punch me in the face.
The Drive Witness News.
So I don't know if this was a yesterday thing or I was just late to the party, but on my social media timeline, I'm sure on many of yours yesterday, every single person that I knew looked like Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. Everybody that I knew looked like a 97-year-old man. I then learned more about it. It is a app called FaceApp. Here is the report on Good Morning America.
In the wake of recent social media scandals where other platforms have been taken to task for giving away users' private information, many now wondering if FaceApp is just more of the same. Its recent rise in popularity reigniting those privacy concerns. FaceApp's current privacy policy has been in place since 2017. Critics caution the app may collect more than just the pictures you upload. According to the policy, FaceApp cannot ensure the security of any information you transmit to FaceApp or guarantee that information on the service may not be accessed, disclosed, or destroyed.
So that was the report on Good Morning America about FaceApp. I understand that some of you are certainly more woke than I am. I just want to fully understand. Who are we afraid of our information going towards? Is it the government?
Russia.
I'm not kidding. This app's literally owned by Russia.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I think they already have it. Because if it's the government, so let's assume that some people are like, I don't want to sign up for that. I don't want the government to have my information. Do you have a driver's license? They have your information, right?
Yeah.
You pay taxes in America, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have your information, right?
The problem is the facial recognition. That's what they're getting from this.
So the same people that have Face app and Face ID on their Apple phone and have signed their thumbprint over to Apple are now terrified that this Face app that none of us are going to play with in a week because we've all made everybody 105 years old. They're terrified of the government, and now Russia has our information. I'm sorry. Our information is out there. It ain't that hard to find your information. If you can find out right now where Patrick Mahomes lives by a simple Google, you can find anybody's information.
Can you imagine if this is what brings us down? A damn FaceTime or whatever you call it, app? It's not FaceTime. What's it called?
FaceApp.
Have you used it?
I have not used FaceApp.
I look a lot like my grandfather. Basically a balder version of myself with a nose the size of the Humpty Hump. Like, that guy had a big nose. Mine's a little bit bigger in the future, apparently. My ears are... I basically look like Paul Feinbaum. You know who that is?
I do know Paul.
In the future, BK, I'm Paul Feinbaum. And I'm fine with that.
Somebody did one for Carrington. He looks fantastic.
Really?
No, I look like a great old person. I mean, it was funny, you know? These things in social media, we know. They have the shelf life of a week. Everybody will do it today. By Friday, it'll be that stupid, get this off my timeline. That's what's going to happen in this. I've got to the point with the information. I mean, I have one of those smart speakers. Like, I eventually caved in and got one of those smart speakers. So...
Oh, well, the government's already living with you then.
100% living with it. Apple knows everything there is to know about me. I got iPads, iPhones, a MacBook. Apple knows all my information. It ain't that hard to find our information. If you really desperately want to find information, it's 2019. It's right there on the internet. So that is the Face app. There was a robbery or an attempted robbery at the gates over on 40 Highway at Independence, 6 locations around town.
Just hours after the attack, and Gates is already back open for business. Most of the lunchtime rush said if they hadn't seen the video, they would have never known anything happened.
George Gates, COO of the company, says the employee who's worked with them for 2 years is recovering well. Gates went to visit him in the hospital and says he's in good spirits. He says the employee already asked him when he could get back to work.
Okay. This segment, I'm starting to realize that meanwhile in the news, just me being confused. I just want to get this straight. And I look at all the love in the world for Gates. This is not an anti-Gates point in any way. You got shot at your workplace. Someone from your workplace came up there to check on your well-being, and you couldn't wait to get back to work? If somebody came up here at Intercom and shot me because of a Sammy Watkins take that I have, I wouldn't be giving no more Sammy Watkins tapes. You want to know why?
What?
I would own Intercom. That's what would happen. I would own this place. It'd be called C.com. That's what it would be. The whole radio.com app, it'd be called the C.com app. That's what it would be if I got shot here at work by
this guy's life. A much better employee than you. He wanted to get back to Gates right away. I mean, it's a somewhat confusing ordering process if you haven't done it very often. Here's how it works. They say, hi, may I help you? You're supposed to say, I'll take a short end or I'll take a beef on bun. You're not supposed to shoot the guy. I'm just putting that out there in case anybody didn't know how it works. That's how it works.
I was wondering where that was going.
That's how it works, BK.
I wasn't sure how we were going to get to the how may I help you, but I knew we were getting there.
I got there.
I mean, this guy, maybe he wasn't serving up help the way it needed to be served, so they went in the back and tried to regulate. That's what it sounds like.
Just
I mean,
get a beef on bun and get out of there, man.
The video is weird. I don't know if you guys saw the video or not.
There's video?
There's absolutely no reason for them to shoot this gentleman. Like, I don't know what was said. There was no audio, at least in the video that I watched.
I said extra sauce.
There was no reason. I mean, a man did get shot. You're throwing a lot of laughs before a guy got shot at work.
He's all right, though, right?
He's okay.
The guy's okay, is he not?
Who got shot at three times, close range.
Is he all right?
Yes.
Is he trying to come back to work?
That probably should have been the first thing we asked instead of, like, the 12.
You cracked 9 jokes about the man in the hospital.
He's all right, though.
Goodness
gracious. He's fine.
No, he's fine.
I'm sure he would see a little bit of humor in this whole thing at this point.
He got rushed to the hospital in critical condition.
Maybe not.
It wasn't all good for my guy who got shot over at Gates over there on Independence. Last story we'll get to, and in just a little bit, we'll catch up with legal analyst Michael McCann. We talked to him about Tyreek Hill. Your Kansas Jayhawks, mm-hmm. They're going to serve beer and wine at football games this fall. I don't know this answer. I don't ever get beer at KU basketball games. Do they serve beer at KU basketball games?
No, you can't get
beer.
So
I assume it's going to carry over to the basketball team as well.
That's where they're making their money. But let's be honest.
For basketball to watch KU, you can just sip on a Coke or a Pepsi or a Mountain Dew and enjoy it. You pretty much have to have booze in your system. This is coming from a KU fan to enjoy KU football. And as much as I like Les Miles and the recruiting trail that he's been on, I think this year and next year are going to be tough. So for those of us that are actually planning on going out to Memorial Stadium and watching the Jayhawks, booze is certainly going to help the situation.
I mean, I always go to one game a year. I'll go to a KU game at some point this year. I actually don't have any jokes for him. This is what every major university should be doing. This is a free revenue stream. I know they want to take this moral high ground of what if the college kids drink? You know what they're doing at KU? They're leaving at halftime to leave and then go drink.
That's an actual problem.
So maybe you keep some of them in the stadium. So I wish I had jokes for Kansas football, and I love making fun of KU as much as anybody. This is actually really smart. I don't have any problem with this. This makes a lot of sense. Every Power 5 university is going to do this. If they're not doing it this season, they will then see the schools that are not currently they will see the schools that are doing it and see, hey, man, KU made $1.1 million by serving beer and wine. We need to get some of that money. That's 100% what's going to happen.
My favorite way to watch football sometimes is on TV. My favorite way to watch football sometimes is to go out to Arrowhead Stadium. My favorite way to watch KU football is always drunk.
I just want to point out that you made fun of KU football way more than I did in this segment, because whenever this segment gets retold on social media, it will be that I made fun of KU repeatedly.
You actually left him alone.
I don't have any jokes to say about it. I think this is actually really good business. I think that Jeff Long has done a really good job with good business. I think think about it. There is reason to be excited about going to KU football games.
Okay, back off a little bit. I don't know about that.
Les Miles, they're serving alcohol, new beginnings. There's reason to be excited.
I like how alcohol is the number two reason to get excited for KU football. You might be right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not advocating for you to go get season tickets or whatnot, but I'm saying is if you're a KU fan, in the first 6 weeks of the season, there's reason for you to go out to Memorial.
Les Miles and booze, you're right.
Yeah, which, I mean, what was it last year? You know what I mean? So last year it was zero.
David Beatty and no booze.
Now we've got to two. And I actually think that adding Les Miles is going to add a win or two just based on you have someone who can coach and has shown who has shown success at this level. Coming up in just a bit, don't turn the dial. Sports Illustrated's legal analyst Michael McCann will join us to discuss Tyreek Hill and a possible suspension. Michael McCann from Sports Illustrated coming up. It's the Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 45 minutes, we will get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. But right now, we are very happy to be joined by Michael McCann at McCann Sports Law on Twitter. He is the legal analyst for Sports Illustrated to talk a little bit about Tyreek Hill and a possible suspension. Mike, thanks a lot for coming on today. What did you first make of the full audio, or what were your take of the release of the full 11-minute audio between Tyreek Hill and Crystal Espinal?
Well, I think it was a powerful recording for a variety of reasons. One is it reiterated some of what we heard earlier in terms of Hill and Espinal clearly disagreeing about what happened. They place blame on each other. We knew that was the case. The extended version, of course, also included the relevant information about Hill questioning her truthfulness given the 2014 incident, which he now claims didn't happen, even though he pleaded out back then. That was pretty interesting because I don't think there had been any reporting on that until hearing the audio. So it is clearly a relationship that has problems, and we know that in a recent filing she indicated that they are not getting married, that there's a custody battle. It's a complex situation, I'm sure, and it's also one that's hard to evaluate from the outside because we're not there and we don't have access to a lot of information. But definitely the longer version of the audio that you guys published was revealing. Certainly it goes to more to their relationship than what we had seen before.
Michael, you talk about 2014, and that was clearly the new information of it. What do you make of him proclaiming his innocence about 2014 from your legal perspective?
Well, on some level, you could say it's too late because the criminal matter has been adjudicated. He pleaded out. It was part of a plea deal. The plea deal is complete. From the legal perspective, the situation is already over. I think, though, it's still useful to hear because it goes to the context of his current disagreement with Espinal over what happened with their son, because he's claiming that she's lying, and he's now saying that she has a pattern of lying that goes back to at least 2014. You know, I don't know who's telling the truth, but to me it suggests that there is more of a track record of disagreement between them about what's happening in their relationship than we had known about prior.
How much do you think whatever happened back in 2014 is going to factor into this most recent suspension, if there is one?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would suspect that Goodell – so here's how I think it could factor in. If Goodell decides, I don't know what happened with their son, I can't punish him because there's all sorts of conflicting information. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe he should have been more attentive. Maybe she injured him. Maybe, you know, sort of we can go through the litany of what might have happened. And that, to me, is a fact record that would be difficult for Goodell to rely upon to punish him. Of course, he can do whatever he wants, so I don't want to claim that he can't punish him for allegations of child abuse. But it's pretty clear that that record is scattered and has conflicting information. But he could punish him for his verbal threat against Espinal, where "you need to be terrified of me," that comment. And to the extent that he finds that that deserves a punishment, he could tie it to say, look, it's not just you making a threatening comment against her, it's that you have a history of hurting her based on what you pleaded out in court. Now, I imagine he and his attorneys are going to say, well, look, he doesn't actually, that was part of a plea deal. He no longer agrees that that happened. But Goodell could say, well, you had your chance back in 2014 to contest that and you didn't, so I can only go by what you said in court.
How much do you think when the suspension comes down, Roger Goodell cares about public perception versus just getting it right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question that I think we've had to ask after a variety of player punishments, whether it's Ray Rice, whether it's Ezekiel Elliott, whether it's Adrian Peterson, whether it's Tom Brady, obviously in a very different context, but it still goes to this idea of what is his motivation? Is it to get it right or is it to address concerns by sponsors and fans and media? It's hard to know. I do think that, though, that the player conduct policy is designed in a way that gives him tremendous discretion, and his conclusions don't have to match those of the legal system. We know that. We saw that with Ezekiel Elliott, where he wasn't charged with a crime, let alone convicted, where he raised pretty significant questions about his accuser in terms of her truthfulness. And he also denied repeatedly any kind of wrongful conduct, and yet he was still suspended 6 games. Now, maybe Goodell had that right and the legal system didn't. I don't know, but I would tend to defer to the legal system because law enforcement has access to information that the NFL as a private entity doesn't have. The NFL can't subpoena records. The NFL can't get people to testify under oath. There are all sorts of limitations. So if the legal system determines that there isn't enough to charge someone, there isn't probable cause, you can make an argument that the NFL should rely on that, but it doesn't have to. And I think that the league's certainly concerned about its image, and particularly with sponsors. And my suspicion is that Goodell, I think, would like to get things right, but his motivation isn't just justice, it's also protecting the brand.
Right now, we're talking to Michael McCann. You can follow him on Twitter, at McCann Sports Law. He is the legal analyst for Sports Illustrated. Because, Michael, that's kind of what we've struggled with here in Kansas City, is what is the legal precedent or NFL precedent for this? Is it Ezekiel Elliott? Is it what happened last year with Jimmy Smith of the Baltimore Ravens? What prior case in the NFL would you say that Tyreek's most resembles?
Yeah, I think all of these are really different. And I say that because the fact patterns are all different. I mean, you can go to the commonality of having a domestic issue, maybe issues with a loved one, a child, arguments with the spouse. There are some commonalities with other players' situations, but I feel like each one is really different. And in this case, to have such stark contrast between what the two parents are saying and to have one of the parents secretly recording the other, I mean, this has a track record that, to me, makes it distinguishable from other player controversy. So, and also, I think with Goodell, he's hard to predict. I don't think he always relies on what happened in the past. I mean, you know, taking a much less serious, less important fact pattern, but with Deflategate, one of the reasons why that got to federal court, multiple levels of federal court, is that Goodell didn't adhere to precedent. He didn't follow his own prior rulings in terms of allegations of tampering with the football, which, again, isn't anything as important as this. But the point is that he doesn't stick to what he's done in the past. So it's hard to to use a prior example and use it as a predictor for what's he going to do here.
Michael, really quickly, what do you make of how long the meeting was between Tyreek Hill and the NFL investigators? 8 hours is certainly a long time. You can cover a lot of ground in 8 hours.
Yeah, that is a long time. And I would expect, I'm only speculating, right? So I don't know why the meeting took 8 hours. I imagine that based on what his lawyer's letter said, that he acknowledges that he and Espinal shouldn't have used corporal punishment for a child that young, that they may have talked about his parenting in general. And rather than the specific incident with the injury, but maybe just his general method of parenting and raising questions about it, and maybe telling him that the way he's conducting himself as a parent is hurtful to the child, and that's a concern to the league because he's a high-profile player who we cover in the media, who is a public figure. I mean, I'm speculating, but I suspect part of the length of that reflects the idea that they may have gone well beyond just the specific topic of what happened with this incident involving a three-year-old boy into more parenting. How does he parent? What are the qualities that he takes into consideration? And maybe the NFL raising some concerns about that.
Carrington and I have varying opinions of how long the suspension for Tyreek Hill is going to be. So before you get out of here, Michael, what is your gut telling you at this point? How long do you think he's going to be suspended, if at all?
Yeah, I mean, predicting what Goodell is going to do is pretty tough, right? So with that caveat, I mean, I would expect he will get suspended. I mean, just based on the fact that the league, the fact that his lawyer has acknowledged that he shouldn't have used corporal punishment, which to me suggests that the lawyer is saying, yeah, you know, he could be a better dad. And we get that, and we realize that we've caused some controversy. I would imagine, I mean, just guessing, you know, maybe 4 games would be an amount that would reflect the overall role of parenting. I don't think Goodell can say Hill injured his son because there's a conflicting track record there. He could say that the recording where he talks about you should be terrified of me is damaging to the league, particularly given his history with her, and maybe some overall concerns about parenting that have contributed to this controversy. So he could avoid punishing him specifically for injuries to the son, given that I don't think we can say he did it, but he could still punish him for overall parenting and the threatening comment. Again, that's just how I could be way off for all I know.
And that is Michael McCann. He is the legal sports analyst for Sports Illustrated. Special thanks to him for coming on to talk about Tyreek Hill. There was a lot to get to in that. We'll react to it coming up on the other side. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
We will get back into the Tyreek Hill discussion momentarily. Some important news and notes, breaking news, however you want to call it, in the NBA. Seems like Chris Paul is going to stay in Oklahoma City. There was a belief that Chris Paul would probably get moved, probably to a place like Minnesota or Miami, maybe Detroit. Does not seem to be the case. It would appear that Oklahoma City and Chris Paul are preparing that he is going to at least play and start the season in Oklahoma City. Chris Paul is at the 13th and a half minute of his 15 minutes. I don't know if he is going to be happy on a team that has absolutely no chance to be competitive and no chance to win a championship this year. We'll see how long that lasts, but it would appear that Chris Paul is going to stay in Oklahoma City.
While we're talking a little hoops, don't forget Rivalry Renewed is right around the corner. Don't miss your opportunity to see KU and MU greats meet on the hardwood. This game will feature Mizzou and Kansas alum, and it will benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kansas City. It's right around the corner coming up Sunday, July 28th at Silverstein Eye Center Arena. Tickets are on sale now. The link for GA and VIP ticket packages can be found on our website at 610sports.com.
So I want to get back into this Michael McCann. Special thanks to him for coming on today. He is the legal analyst for Sports Illustrated. I want to play this for you because I think this is the biggest point. That here in Kansas City, I understand that there are a lot of clouds and uncertainty around Tyreek Hill and Crystal Espinal's relationship and wrongdoing and who did what, and I completely understand that. I think this is probably now the biggest reason for a Tyreek Hill suspension, aside from the I think he will ultimately be penalized for the you should be terrified of me too comment.
The player conduct policy is designed in a way that gives him tremendous discretion, and his conclusions don't have to match those of the legal system. We know that. We saw that with Ezekiel Elliott, where he wasn't charged with a crime, let alone convicted, where he raised pretty significant questions about his accuser in terms of her truthfulness, and he also denied repeatedly any kind of wrongful conduct, and yet he was still suspended six games. I think that the league's certainly concerned about its image, and particularly with sponsors. My suspicion is that Goodell, I think, would like to get things right, but his motivation isn't just justice, it's also protecting the brand.
I think we can see and we can acknowledge that most people don't want to be viewed negatively from outsiders. I understand there's a percentage of people that don't care what other people think, but most people care what other people think. I think that Goodell typically operates the league of, did you make the league look bad? And based on what we just heard from a legal analyst and people that follow the NFL, if it is such a broad scope of what conduct detrimental to the league can be, I think that Tyreek Hill's actions are going to fall under it. That I think the comment of you should be terrified of me too, and I don't want to say regardless of the context, but I think it is inappropriate to say that to a woman, especially given your history and what you have pled guilty to, he is going to have to pay for that. Again, I understand that there are different questions and there are different things that we all wonder about their relationship. He is ultimately going to be penalized for that statement.
Can you imagine what the public outcry would be? Not here in Kansas City, but can you imagine what the general public outcry would be if Roger Goodell comes out tomorrow, next week, next month, and says Tyreek Hill's not suspended at all? I think that some Chiefs fans will go, that's awesome. I think the general public is going to go, are you crazy? I've heard about this guy. I've heard the what he had to say on the recording. I do wonder how they're going to handle the priors, though. Because most of the time, it's not just the incident that we're talking about. It's, have you been a good guy before or have you been a bad guy before? And we all kind of assumed that the priors back in 2014 were what we thought they were. After we released the entire 11-minute, 20-second audio a couple of weeks ago, that at least brings that into question. So I wonder how they're going to handle the priors. And one more thing. You talked about with Michael how it lasted 8 hours and what are we still waiting on at this point? There's so many layers to this that I'm not surprised that it lasted that long in this meeting because there's so many different things to figure out.
And I bring up the that everyone cares about their perception because I feel one major perception around Roger Goodell is this is an area that he's weak in.
Yeah.
Goodell has some strengths. Like Thursday night football might seem like a no-brainer. Roger Goodell gets a lot of credit for that. Expanding the international mission. You might not like it as a fan. I assume the owners are fans of what is happening. So Goodell, I don't want to make it seem like nothing Goodell has done has been right as commissioner.
No, now, but when it comes to punishment, I can't really think of one case I can point to and say, yeah, he got that one right.
Now, he started on third base in a lot of the things that I was talking about, but I think he has done an okay job in other areas. In this area, when it comes to dealing out player suspensions and punishment, especially when it involves women, the perception around the league and the perception in sports is that Roger Goodell is weak on it. How do you think, and look at this from an objective perspective, I understand we're in Kansas City, what do you think it looks like star wide receiver is on tape telling pregnant fiance, you should be terrified of me too? What does that headline look like? What's that conversation look like? How do you think that reflects on Roger Goodell? Because that's ultimately what the suspension, if it's a light suspension, that's what it will reflect on. It will not reflect bad on Tyreek Hill. It will reflect bad on Roger Goodell. And the headlines from USA Today and the Los Angeles Times and national publications are going to be about Roger Goodell gets it wrong again and Tyreek Hill will not be the story. More than anything, a standard four-game suspension eliminates all of that.
That's why this is taking so long, C-Dot, because it's not just about getting it right, the number of games that the punishment should be based on the crime, if that makes sense. It's PR. It's how does it make the league look? Because what you're talking about, the only time in all these cases that Roger Goodell's punished somebody and the general public thought that was probably a little bit too harsh was Tom Brady for Deflategate when he got, what, he ended up getting four games. Mm-hmm. Almost every other scenario, he didn't punish enough, which makes me think it's going to be a situation for Roger Goodell where he looks himself in the mirror. He goes, okay, in the past, I've taken a lot of crap for not punishing these guys enough. That alone and the conduct detriment of the team, you should be terrified of me too, makes me think there's no way it's not going to be a suspension at all.
Text line 69306, context matters. Fake news headlines don't matter. You don't live in America in 2019 if that's your take. I'm not saying that context shouldn't matter more and that headlines shouldn't have the importance that they have, but not everybody that follows the NFL is as versed on this topic as Kansas City is. So the headline and what it reads and the perceptions absolutely factors in. The Patriots, I don't think the Patriots get dinged as hard for Deflategate if the perception is that the Patriots are cheaters. So you had another chance to catch them in which you thought they cheated again. The perception was we got to be tough on the New England Patriots. Man, that stuff matters in all of this. The headline, the perception. I'll keep saying this. If Tyreek Hill gets a zero-game suspension, that is a Good Morning America news story. If he gets a four-game suspension, it is just a sports story for 24 hours. Let's say they announce this coming up in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, they announce a four-game suspension. Man, it's in the middle of training camp. It is a story for 24 hours. We all know what it is, and we then all move on. There is just no way, I think, for the perception of the league. And again, Roger Goodell, who is deemed as light on crime when it comes to NFL players and acts against women, Tyreek Hill is not getting off with less than two games, in my opinion.
And not to sound crude here, but who do you think you're texting saying context matters? We completely understand, at least the three of us in this room, that context matters. We're the radio show, radio station, that put out the entire 11-minute, 27-minute piece of audio because we want you to think what we think so you can form your own opinion. We completely understand here that context matters, and it absolutely does.
One thing talking to Michael McCann, too, that was, I don't want to use the term confusing. I was not confused. I don't know if Roger Goodell should be in the business of trying to determine how you should discipline your child. Now, I think that Tyreek Hill disciplines his child inappropriately based on the information that we have. I don't know if that is an NFL matter. Now, it's different than the Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson was charged with a crime. That's a little bit different than all of this. Tyreek Hill was not charged with a crime here. So he was talking about they had conversations about parenting. Yeah. And again, I'm not saying that I condone what Tyreek Hill did. And you should not be punching three-year-olds in the chest. I just don't know if that is the NFL's business. They have a tough enough time telling us what a catch is. They have a tough enough time telling us what pass interference is. I don't think they should be in the business of telling you how you should discipline your child, at least not in my opinion. Coming up in just a bit, we will get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. But first, we continue our 25 most intriguing Chiefs. We are at number 8, and he is a controversial one. We'll talk about him coming up to the Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on the Drive, coming up in 15 minutes, we will get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City, plus some breaking news in the NBA. It sounds like Chris Paul is going to stay in Oklahoma City. So if you follow the NBA, it's certainly big news because it certainly looked like, at least for a time, that Oklahoma City was going to be trying to trade Chris Paul. Sounds like he will stay in OKC. We are doing a countdown of the 25 most intriguing members and players on the Kansas City Chiefs. Earlier today, we did Damian Williams as our 9th player. We moved to number 8, and maybe the most controversial Chief, not named Tyreek Hill. Hit it, BK.
Training camp is around the corner. The season is almost here. And on the Drive, we're ranking the Chiefs' 25 most important players in 25 days.
It's first and goal. Patrick Mahomes, crossing pattern, Watkins, to the pylon, touchdown! Watkins' second touchdown reception today.
Sammy Watkins is our number 8 player in our 25 most intriguing Chiefs for 2019. I want to be very clear, because for some reason I have been deemed a Sammy Watkins hater. I don't got nothing against Sammy Watkins. I just think he gets paid like an elite-level receiver and doesn't play like an elite-level receiver. But I've never denied if Sammy Watkins has ability. I think he is a more than capable and can be a productive wide receiver for this team. But it's hard to be productive if you are inactive for the week. You're not providing much value if you don't play the second half of the season the way that Sammy Watkins did last season. And I think it's always going to be a hot issue, because Sammy Watkins has been this way the last 3 seasons in the NFL. If last year was the only year that he had done that, then you could just say that was a blip on the radar. Cool, no problem. That happens in the NFL. Man, it has been 3, I would say, disappointing consecutive seasons for Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, if you ask me, Sean, how good can Sammy Watkins be if he plays a full season, I would say, I don't know. He's only done that one time. It was his rookie year with the Buffalo Bills, where he was pretty damn good. 16 full games, 65 receptions for 982 yards. He followed that up with a really good second season also in limited time. 13 games, That year he had 60 receptions for just over 1,000 yards. So Sammy's been close to that 1,000-yard barometer a couple of times, albeit it's been a few years since then. The thing about Sammy Watkins is, and I agree with you, he's never going to be able to earn the contract the Chiefs paid him at over $15 million a year. And he's probably never going to live up to the hype. In fact, he's certainly at this point never going to live up to the hype of being the fourth overall pick in the NFL draft. But when the Chiefs got him, C-Dot, they got him to be a number 2/3 pass catcher, knowing that they have Tyreek Hill on the field and Travis Kelce. Well, don't look now. We all agree at some point Tyreek Hill is going to be suspended. That means Sammy Watkins becomes your number one wide receiver, which we haven't seen really since his Buffalo days. That's when I question Sammy is, when he becomes really important, opposed to just becoming another piece on the team, can he step up?
And, I mean, this year is just so important for Sammy Watkins on a personal level. He is 26 years old. This is technically the last year of his deal if the Chiefs want it to be. I find it hard to believe that next year he will be back under his current contract.
Oh, there's no way.
Now, not saying that he can't come back on the team. It's going to be hard for the Chiefs to justify bringing him back on the contract he has next year.
Especially with all the other dudes they have to pay.
So if you want to look at it, it is $13.754 base salary, $7 million in signing bonus, a $250,000 workout bonus. I was actually reading about this today. For the workout bonus, they have 36 workouts. In order for you to get your workout bonus, you got to show up to 33 of them in order to get $250,000. I'll sign up wherever you need me to be to get that $250,000. It ain't really that hard.
Everyone sit around and watch you bench press 75 pounds. That'll be fun.
His cap hit would be $21 million next season if they do not renegotiate his contract. That this is a very important year for Sammy Watkins. I think there's a chance he's on the team next year. I don't look at it in the case of there's no way he can be on the team. He's going to play football for somewhere in the NFL next season. So I think you can very simply, if Watkins has a really good season, let's say he has 950 yards this season, say, hey, we want you here. We want to keep you here under Patrick Mahomes. You know that you can't come back on $13.75 million. I don't know if any team gives him that next season. But we're willing to restructure. We can turn some of this base salary into signing bonus, give you some more money up front, and let's add a couple more years on the back end of this deal and make it a more manageable contract for all sides. I think that's very much in play if Sammy Watkins stays healthy and has a good season.
The most head-scratchy and confusing season of his entire career wasn't last year, where he only played in 10 games, had 40 receptions for 519 yards, and when the Chiefs needed him to, he was really good. It was the year before, where he played almost a full season with the Los Angeles Rams, a team that year was the second highest scoring offense in the entire NFL. Again, he played in 15 games 2 years ago, and he had 39 receptions for 593 yards. Now, I'll give him credit where credit is due. Sammy did find the end zone quite a bit that season. He did have 8 touchdowns, but it's just a bit perplexing, C-Dot, in an offense that good, with a coach that good, with a quarterback that efficient, that he could play 15 games with the Rams 2 years ago and still have less than 40 catches and less than 600 yards.
My issue with Sammy Watkins is a very simple one. The hype don't match the production. It's the best way to put it. The hype don't match the production. For how Chiefs fans talk about Sammy Watkins, he don't play very similar to how he is discussed. I cannot leave this without having one Sammy. I mean, you know I love Sammy Watkins' stats. Turn my music down, BK. I want to give you guys a stat.
All right.
Because you know that I am one for the salary cap. Salary cap matters. It is a salary cap league. You can't just have everybody on your team. You got to make decisions. These are the only players in the NFL who count more against the salary cap for their respective teams than Sammy Watkins. Think about who he is. Think about what the Chiefs get in return for Sammy Watkins. These are the only players in the NFL who count for a higher percentage of their team's salary cap than Sammy Watkins. Cam Newton, Von Miller, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, Kirk Cousins, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Eli Manning, Derek Carr, Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston.
All quarterbacks except for Von Miller.
That's the list. 10% of their salary cap is tied up into Sammy Watkins. Text line 69306. I feel like Watkins went to KU the way C-Dot talks about him. No. I don't have any issue with Sammy Watkins. I have none. I've never met the man before. I'm sure he's a fine individual. I try to talk about the players that matter and the players that the Chiefs have deemed important. If he has the second highest salary cap hit of any non-quarterback in the NFL behind Super Bowl MVP and future Hall of Fame player Von Miller, I don't think we talk about Sammy Watkins enough. It frustrates me that basically Kansas City is just throwing their hands up in the fact that Sammy Watkins might have one of the 5 worst contracts in the NFL. I'm serious. He might have one of the 5 worst contracts in the NFL. I don't think it's good business to sign a player which it is impossible for you to live up to their contract. Impossible. He has the 12th highest salary cap hit in the NFL, and there's only one non-quarterback ahead of him. At least the rest of them at least make some sense. Like, all right, Eli Manning stinks, but at least plays quarterback for a team in the NFL. You're telling me that at the best, the Chiefs thought a guy that was going to have 10% of their salary cap was their fourth best offensive weapon if he was here? That's not good team management.
That's something actually the Chiefs and the Royals have in common. You could argue they've got both the best and the worst contracts in all of baseball and football. I would say Witt is one of the best contracts in all of baseball, 4 years, $16 million. You could argue that either Ian Kennedy or Alex Gordon have a couple of the worst contracts.
No, they got way worse. There's way worse contracts in baseball than Ian Kennedy's deal.
Alex Gordon?
Yeah, I mean.
I don't know, man.
I mean, you think that Bryce Harper is the most overrated player in the league? They owe him $500 million.
I'd still rather pay him that than
Chris
Alex Gordon.
Davis is batting like 205, and he's making $200 million.
Okay, let me rephrase it. They've got one of the best contracts in baseball, one of the worst. Same thing with the Chiefs. You could argue that Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes have the two best contracts in all of football, while obviously Sammy Watkins has one of the worst. So we've been a little bit glass half empty on Sammy Watkins. Let me just go glass half full for a second. He does make up half of the best Chiefs wide receiver duo in my lifetime and maybe of all time. And obviously that's a whole lot more to do with Tyreek Hill than it does him. But I've got the list of best wide receivers in Chiefs history right in front of me. Number 7, Chris Burford. Number 9, Eddie Kennison. Number 10, Derek Alexander. Tyreek Hill is already 11th on this list in passing yards. Then you get down to guys like Willie Davis, Kimball Anders, and J.J. Bird. Not exactly the who's who of wide receivers in Kansas City.
Text line 69306. It hasn't kept us from going after or getting anyone that we want. That's when I'll get mad. What frustrates me the most about this, maybe this is like part of my own frustration, I don't feel like Kansas City's energy is consistent. I hear all the time about the Eric Berry contract and the Justin Houston contract. Those contracts weren't good. The number one reason I've been told that John Dorsey, who drafted Tyreek Hill, who drafted Travis Kelce, who drafted Kareem Hunt, who drafted Marcus Peters, who drafted Patrick Mahomes, the number one reason he got fired was signing bad contracts. Veach gives out bad contracts all the time.
You can see the difference between the Sammy Watkins contract and all of those, though, right? Like, if you want to talk about a bad contract, it's Anthony Hitchens. The thing with Sammy Watkins, it's a two-year deal. There's not really such thing as a bad deal on a two-year structure in the NFL. If you can get out of it quickly, I can deal with a one-year cap hit, and that's really all of this is. This year, it was a big cap hit for the Chiefs. Last year was like $7, $8 million. Whatever, that's fine. That's a number two receiver salary. This year, it's huge, and they can get out of it easily next year. It was a two-year deal when they signed it, and they always knew it was going to be that. That's the difference. When you're looking at Eric Berry, you're looking at Justin Houston, they signed six-year deals. That's not the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, the six-year deal ultimately ended up being for Eric Berry was a three-year deal, but I get you in terms
of the
cap.
And they had to eat money over 2 years. Like, it ended up being four or five.
I just think that sometimes you kind of get what you pay for, and I think we all knew that they were getting a disappointing, hurt wide receiver when they paid Sammy Watkins, and that's exactly what he's turned into.
Then why the hell did they pay him in the first place? I mean, they could have spent that money. They could have allocated that in a lot of different ways at the time.
I don't think they thought that Patrick Mahomes was going to be nearly as good as he was.
Fair enough.
They wanted to give him as many weapons as they possibly could, and Sammy Watkins was clearly the best receiver on the market. Like, over the last 2 years, who's the better receiver that's hit the market? Antonio Brown, who, in terms of, like, players that they could have had, who was a better receiver that hit the market? I don't think there was one.
Yeah, no, there wasn't a better wide receiver. Could argue that probably would be better off if they just drafted a wide receiver, but that's neither here nor there. They eventually did.
They got that right. They got my guy, Mecole Hardman.
Yeah, I mean, they could have just drafted a receiver over Breland Speaks, and they could have.
Yes, I would have taken that at this point.
They could have just done that. They could have spent that money elsewhere. I mean, they just could have went in different directions.
Hindsight being 2020, yes, a wide receiver over Breland Speaks was definitely the move to make.
And another thing that frustrates me about Sammy Watkins, and we can move on, is whatever your expectations were last year for Sammy Watkins, he didn't even hit that. Like, we all knew that his numbers, like, we all knew, I mean, even me with the contract, he wasn't going to have 1,200 yards and 11 touchdowns last season. But whatever you said, maybe you set an 800-yard marker and 6 touchdowns. He didn't hit that this season. Sammy Watkins seems to be the only player on the team that doesn't have concrete expectations. I know what the expectations are for Mahomes. I know what they are for Tyreek. I know they're for Damian Williams. No one can ever tell me what the expectation is for Sammy Watkins, but he has the highest salary cap hit on their team. It just confuses me and makes me want to pull my hair out. Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City. It's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.